Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Excited to talk about beauty. I'm Jen and you're Jess. Let's do it. We're just sort of okay. Testing out new intros. There we go.
Yeah. Feel free to feedback on that one. Okay, I have a lot to chat about.
It's Fat Mascara.
Oh, yeah, it's Fat Mascara. Hey. I am back from my trip. It feels like I haven't been in the studio for 2 weeks because I haven't been in the studio for 2 weeks. I understand there was another woman here, not totally thrilled about that. JK, I listened. It was really fun. But I brought back a special souvenir for my trip. Then I want to talk to you about teeny tiny pimples, the kind you're not really sure what to do about. And then last, I want to talk about jade rollers and rose quartz rollers.
Okay, we can do
all the rollers that we're seeing.
Let's do all that. And then we have a wonderful interview. However, I have a little housekeeping note about our interviews. I was thinking about this and I have to share how we book. You guys know we have all these great personalities in the beauty industry. We want to get them all on the show. We don't always know it far enough in advance who's going to be what week. So like we were just looking, we were like, oh my gosh, we haven't had a hairstylist in a while. Or we had two people from a makeup world back to back or two similar people. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, we plan sort of like our bookings happen and then they change all the time.
These people are very busy, important people, high powered executives, celebrity hairstylists who fly out at the drop of a hat. Okay.
Yes. They aren't flying out for us. They're flying for the clients. But the reason I say that is we have an awesome interview, by the way. And when his schedule opened up, we were like, let's just drop him in. Let's do it. Guess who we have?
Who do we have?
John Dempsey. This man is in charge of like pretty much every brand that's sold at Sephora and department stores. Am I wrong?
No, he's pulling the strings in the beauty world.
He's executive group president of Estee Lauder Companies. And he's going to tell us about his career and his cats and his dogs and a bunch of other stuff. You're going to love it.
Such a good episode. So excited.
Jess, I did miss you, but the episode was okay without you, right?
It was actually really good. Last I was listening week? To it in Amsterdam, chuckling, laughing, saying, oh my God, girls, I know, totally know what you mean. I was chiming in to no one.
Oh, okay. Well, we missed you. And I know you want to talk about something you brought back. Is it the little chocolate bunny that you brought me?
Oh.
Miffy.
So cute.
No, not that.
I brought back, okay, so I went, this is a little bit of a twofer. This is hashtag shopping like a real person.
Okay, yes.
I went to this one store in Amsterdam called Baba Sue, and I'll link to it on our blog, but it's on our Instagram. I put a little sneak peek of me shopping there. Mm-hmm. it was one of the best beauty stores I've ever been to in my life. All niche beauty and many brands I've never seen in the U.S.
Ooh,
and fantastic service. Thank you, Liam. Such great service. I went twice.
Okay.
I wanted to buy myself. I always like to buy myself a little present when I'm away. Sometimes it's jewelry, but other times it's fragrance. Now, mm-hmm. there's a little debate that was stirred up on the Facebook group after last or two episodes ago when we were speculating about, we were talking about the IFF Avant-Garde fragrance exhibit.
Yes.
And we're saying, you know, that a lot of millennials don't buy fragrance. So that's what, you know, fragrance brands are saying. That's what the fragrance industry is saying. That's their challenge right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, wouldn't it be cool if things like the fragrance exhibit came out, like how there's like Rose Mansion, the Color Factory, all these kind of pop-ups,
right.
Museum of Ice Cream. And somebody made this point on Facebook, and, you know, listen, you're totally entitled to your opinion. I'm not like smashing it. But they said, well, yeah, we don't buy fragrance because it's really expensive. You know, $100 a pop or even more, as many of these fragrances mm-hmm. are, even if it's $60, like it's an expensive purchase. And I thought about that for a second. I was kind of like, oof, was I a little tone deaf on the podcast? But then I was thinking about this when I bought this fragrance, and I'll share this with you in a second. It's mm-hmm. irrelevant at this point, the name. I think fragrance, and this is where I wonder if it's just two different mindsets, is such nothing. Like this fragrance, I was like, I have to buy this because it's going to bring me back to the moment.
Yeah.
It is so special. And I'm going to sound like a nerd here, but I know we all know this fact. Nothing will link you back to a moment in time
mm-hmm.
more than a scent. It's an actual scientific fact. We've all done this story as beauty editors. Like the nerve that's connected to memory
literally,
is right next to the...
I had an experience this week, which we can maybe get into,
yeah.
but the same exact thing happened to me.
The nerve that's connected to memory is like right nearby, like geographically in your brain, nearby.
Where you process the olfactory, yes.
Exactly.
Memory
so,
and olfactory.
It was
yes.
such a special time. That I was like, I want to remember this moment. I want to remember being with my cousin. I wanted to remember the weather, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought this fragrance.
Now, I hope you were spraying it there too to get like
totally,
into the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I felt like, you know, the fragrance was 100 euro. So it was like maybe like $130 or something like that.
Okay.
Not cheap. And I don't splash out like that on beauty products ever because, hello, our jobs.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if you're listening to Fat Mascara, if you're a beauty person, you've probably spent quite a few dollars on eyebrow pencils, lipsticks, blah, blah, blah. And if that gives you joy, that's amazing. But I feel like people are cheating themselves by not exploring. They don't certainly need to buy a $100 fragrance, but the specialness
joy
of that experience, you know,
yeah.
of marking an experience
with a scent.
Yeah. Am I being...
No, but I think a lot of people think, well, there's not a visible result, and we live in a very visual world right now, and it's you don't see it. And I think we need to respect that, like, certain experiences, no, you're not going to – there's no you're not going to see it, but it's going to be stuck in your brain, and that's awesome.
Everything cannot be, like, where's the payoff? Because let me tell you, if you lined up 10 nude lipsticks – and you put them on. I don't know if you could all tell the difference with all of them.
Fragrance is the purchase for you. Like, you're going to have a special feeling about
yes.
it. Like, you're not doing it to look good for another person or to show off for your friends. Like, sure, you'll smell good. But, like, yeah, use it as a way to, like, connect with yourself.
It's a time portal. And also, you know, I'm sure, like, there's no way. Like, you know, when I was reading about the fragrance, so now, okay, oh, this is the big reveal. It's called, I can't even pronounce it, Elisire.
Okay.
Can you give this a read? Let me know if you understand what that means.
Elisire. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure how to pronounce
yeah.
that, but it smells divine.
The brand is Elisire, and the fragrance is O Papa Guena. I'll put a link
wow,
on the thing.
Wow, we just butchered that one.
Yeah, it's real bad. A signature blend of bright nature.
Maybe
it's,
this is why people don't buy
yeah,
fragrance.
Because they don't know how to pronounce it. But it's a
I'm
very
wearing that
bright,
new O Papa Guena. You like it?
It's much easier to say like Calvin Klein Escape.
You smell like beach and orange flower and vanilla all wrapped up into one. It's very like cocoony, but like fresh.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's
it
lovely.
Did something to me.
It has a sunniness to
it's
it.
It's something sunny, and it's funny because I'm not, you know, I don't like the sun. I hate the sun.
No, but.
but there's something like bright and luminous and but also cozy about it.
So, I think that we need other people to weigh in on this debate. And I realize we didn't mention as well that you were talking about our Raise a Wand fan group, right? Not necessarily our Facebook page.
Our Facebook fan group. So I will put another link to that on the blog. But just the thing I wanted to say about this, when I was learning about this brand, because I immediately went back to my cousin's house and I was like Googling the brand. I was like, who is this? I need to learn about it. There's such artistry to fragrance that like there isn't in your pressed powder. Sorry. There's not. Yeah. Like, so,
it's the same as a painter. Yeah.
So I don't know. I just felt so invigorated by that whole thread of comments. And I appreciate you all for chiming in. I'm not negging you. I just was like, it really made me think about your pushback to my comment last 2 weeks ago. And yeah, like, you know,
you're doubling
return.
Down.
Yeah, return.
I like it.
Okay,
I
your
like
move,
it.
Your move, Facebook group.
So, okay, millennials aren't spending money on fragrance, maybe. You know what they are spending money on?
What?
Face rollers.
Really?
Yeah, actually, this literally, it's the amount of money that has been spent on face rollers this year is staggering.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people look at these and want them, but I don't know if they know what they do. And I have thought for a long time that this might be one of those beauty tools that's bullshit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because moving lymph fluid along, that's what it says it does, but do we need to do that? So I did a little test this week, and I want to report back.
Okay.
Well, I tried the MDNA Beauty Roller, which is $200 with its carbon black.
Oh, I saw that on our Instagram. That
looks so
funny.
Let me tell you, though, that is very different from a jade roller or rose quartz roller because it's angled inward, so it sort of feels like a little bit pinchy, like when a facialist does with her knuckles along your jawline.
Yeah. Ouch.
It's definitely more of like a contouring moment. It feels like it's doing a little toning too, because you can be sore afterwards. But what I'm talking about are the little green jade rollers or the little pink rose quartz ones that you see everywhere, as cheap as $7 on Amazon.com. Two things. One,
okay,
they're not all jade, just so everybody knows. If that was real jade, it'd be a lot more expensive.
I've heard that, yeah.
But any stone that has a high thermal inertia number, I looked into this, which means it conducts heat poorly, so it feels cool when you touch it. That's what you want. And honestly, glass does that. So plastic does not, however. So plastic roller is not going to do this for you. But that's because you want the cooling sensation because it has like an anti-inflammatory effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the experiment I did. I had woke up after steak dinner was all salty. Sorry. It was Eric's birthday. I'm sorry we ate meat.
Sorry. It's okay.
And I had a little bit of fluid underneath my eyes. So I did one the way that you're supposed to do, which is rolling outwards. So the lymph fluid is going out towards your ear and draining down that drainage way.
Okay.
And then I was like, let me just see. Maybe it's just the cooling effect. It's not the movement of the lymph.
It's just the cooling effect.
No, the other one I did in towards my nose, which is what you're not supposed to do.
Oh, God. I would be afraid I'd do something bad.
I mean, what was the worst thing that was going to happen?
I don't know.
I took pictures before and after. Oh, my God. Do not roll it towards your nose.
Oh, gosh.
Because you're basically just like, I think I was just like compacting the fluid into there. It just looked puffier.
Wow.
Whereas the one that I rolled out towards my ear, it looked so, so much better.
Okay.
So it's not just the cooling sensation. I truly think it's that you are massaging. The only thing I'm also going to say is like, your fingers are free.
What? Reach. I love that. Your fingers are free.
And I do think if your fingers were cool, like I know they get warmed up, so you're not going to have the same effect. But like if you put on a cooling moisturizer that you keep in the fridge and then you do a sort of facial massage outward under your eyes when their under eyes are puffy, you're going to have a similar effect. But I was ready to be a cynic about the face rollers, and I'm kind of on board. Do you use one?
I have one at my desk. I also have the Gua Sha, the two Gua Sha stones at my desk.
Oh, these are the, like, they look like guitar picks, like large guitar picks, but made of stone.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Yeah.
And those are more, I think, for like the cheeky area, right?
Yeah, I do that when I'm stressed out a bit.
Okay, so there's a benefit. It makes you feel...
Yeah, I feel like, okay, like I can focus a little bit. It just also feels nice. I don't really do this as like, oh, I'm looking puffy. I feel like if I'm looking puffy, like it is what it is.
Well, now you should roll because I'm
telling
you.
I might be rolling.
It works.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
Tiny pimples on your face. Tiny pimples that are everywhere. I'm really very sing-songy today, aren't I?
I think it's like that Tuesday night feeling, Tuesday night music club
with Jen.
Jen Goldstein.
You're welcome. So what do you want to talk about?
Okay, so I want to talk about zits, but I want to talk about like the zits that like we're not quite sure how to categorize. Those zits that they're neither gross whiteheads that, like, you can just see.
Pustules.
Yeah, that you just you see them and you're like, bam, I want to squeeze it. Yeah. Even though we're told not to, but we all do.
We've been there, yes.
Okay, and they're not blackheads where, you know, we know what to do, which is, like, squeeze them when they're soft from the shower or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about cystic hormonal on
your
chin.
No, we're not talking about those. We're not talking about the big guys. I call those M&Ms, like the ones.
Yeah, like a marble under your skin.
Yes. Ooh, yeah.
These are reddish papules, right? Like a closed.
I say they're skin colored. So I get them on my forehead sometimes when, like, you know, when I feel like it happens when I'm not getting enough rest or when, like, I've, like, slept with dirty hair, I've been flying or something. They're, like, a bunch of them. It's like they all come out with their little friends to play on my forehead.
Okay, and they're definitely pimples?
I didn't know. So they're, like, little skin-colored things. I'm like, is it dermatitis?
Milia?
Yeah. But they kind of look like milia. So I emailed Mona Gahara, okay? She took a break from her busy day of being, like, a high-powered dermatologist. Mm-hmm. And she wrote me, and she said, these are usually... she said they're cysts, and I was like, no, cysts I think are like those big, the marbles,
right?
And she said, no, nevertheless, they're cysts, so microcysts. Okay,
microcysts. What's a microcyst?
So they're pinkish or they're skin colored. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they hurt. Okay, and she said, don't squeeze them, because I've been squeezing them, hoping for tiny gross stuff to come out, okay?
Okay, don't squeeze them.
Okay, so now I know, okay? Too little, too late. Don't squeeze them because you're going to scar. She said, really just treat them like any old thing with benzoyl peroxide. And
it's like a regular pimple?
Yes, they are really actually regular pimples.
Such a weird spot for them because they always come up in weird spots, right? That you're not used to getting like monthly. Mm-hmm. All right, so benzoyl peroxide.
Or I also spoke to Dr. Whitney Bowe.
Okay.
And we all know Dr. Bowe, okay? Like the Love Your Bugs podcast. Go back to it. It's one of her top rated ones. Mm-hmm. She said that you can also use an over-the-counter retinol. She loves Dermalogica Overnight Retinol Repair.
Okay.
She also recommended a monthly salicylic acid peel.
But is that going to help to prevent them?
She says it helps clear them up. So if you're somebody that gets them a lot.
Okay, because I have dry skin and all those ingredients you just named do sort of irritate me. But.
Well, I would say there are some retinols are in like moisturizers, which are really nice.
Oh, you know which one I've been using? Rodan and Fields does them in the little capsules. They're little turquoise capsules. Mm-hmm. And it's like in a nice oily base. Not oily, that's the wrong word.
Yeah, but like a nice.
Elizabeth Arden has a new one too.
Yeah, they're ceramides.
Yeah, those are nice. They're pink. Mm-hmm. But there's one with retinol now, and it's moisturizing.
SkinCeuticals, I don't know if it's out yet, but if it is, we'll certainly put it on the blog. They have a nice retinol cream that I really like. It's like a retinol and a cream. You use it at night.
Not like the treatment serum version of a retinol.
Yeah, it's a cream.
Okay.
And then as for salicylic acid, there are some moisturizers that have that. So I would use those on the area overnight.
Is that what you – so you're going to do that now preventatively on your forehead when you travel?
Yeah, when I know – because I don't know what it is. I can't get to the root of that, and it's kind of irrelevant. The point is, like, when I know that I'm going to be in, like – you know, I kind of get – like I told you, like when I get them when I'm stressed or when I'm flying.
Yeah. You feel them coming on. And
exactly.
You're going to treat them with that. Seems like a good plan. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your double doctor duty with all that information.
Listen, we are here to help you guys. We're here to get the answers. We've got a panel of derms on the line.
On that note, go join the fan group so you can get in on the conversation.
It's been really fun.
Yeah.
Guys, I love all the activity.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com /host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We are here with the Don. Yeah.
The Dom?
The Don.
The Don.
The Don.
Okay. The Don of what?
D-O-N.
Okay.
John Dempsey, Executive Group President of the Estee Lauder Companies, Inc. He oversees a wide portfolio of brands. I'm just going to rattle off
just a couple. Few.
Okay. So, all right, settle in. Clinique, mm-hmm. MAC, mm-hmm. Tom Ford Beauty.
Yeah.
Are you going to say mm-hmm after?
Okay, I won't.
Jo Malone London, Smashbox, you can keep mooning, Prescriptives, Aramis and Designer Fragrances, and the Men's Skincare Group, as well as the company's recently acquired brands, Too Faced, Becca, By Kilian, Glam Glow, Editions de Parfum, Frederick Malle, we love Frederick, Le Labo, and Rodin, Olio Lusso. Did I get them all?
I believe so.
Nailed
yes.
it.
Yes.
Welcome
it.
To Fat Mascara, John.
Yes. Welcome, John. So we have so many questions to ask you, but I feel like I have to ask the initial, how did you break into the beauty world? Let's just like
Let's
lay
just
the groundwork.
Get it done with.
Yeah.
Rip the Band-Aid, so
yeah.
to speak. Okay, so it goes back, my grandparents actually. My grandmother's first cousin, Uncle Bernie from Chicago, Bernie Mitchell, who made a killing after World War II in the air conditioning business, had started a fragrance company in the 1970s called Jovan Musk.
Of course!
So Jovan Love Musk. So Jovan Love Musk was like the sexual revolution fragrance in the 1970s. So cousin Bernie, or Uncle Bernie as the case may be, became like super rich, and growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, seeing cousin Bernie in the fragrance business during the rad 1970s, I was super interested. I was always interested in entertainment and music. So somehow the idea of being in the beauty business was something that I was super interested in. I, you know, went to a prep school mm-hmm. in Cleveland.
Covered in Jovan Musk.
And then I went to Stanford University, studied in Paris, then went to NYU Business School.
You were studying business the whole time, but did you have your eye on the prize? Like
I had my eye on the prize.
I want to be beauty like Uncle Bernie.
I wanted to be beauty like Uncle Bernie meets Uncle Bernie. Max Factor meets Estee Lauder meets...
So you were laser focused.
I was laser focused. I really wanted to be in the beauty business. So I graduated from business school mm-hmm. and I had to get a job, and I interviewed like absolutely everywhere, could not get a job. And through a friend of a friend, had an introduction to Rosemarie Bravo
wow.
at Macy's and went into the Macy's executive training program, being a trainee assistant in the cosmetics buying office. And interestingly enough, I ended up not successful in my first job and was sort of removed or relieved of my duties being the trainee in cosmetics in Macy's in the early 1980s and was transferred to Parkchester in the Bronx to be the department manager of the Sergio Valente jeans department
oh.
during the release of Flashdance, where the A-track was playing "Maniac for Your Love."
Wait, did you feel like a real fall from grace?
It was a fall from grace. It was a fall from grace. Yes.
What did you do? Can I just ask? You were removed.
I was removed. I was put into another assignment.
Picturing you literally being plucked.
I was plucked. Yes, I was chosen. I was chosen to chain jeans up and in Parkchester, and I was standing in this store in Parkchester, like having a nervous breakdown, and someone walked into the store and looked at me and said, "You don't look like you belong here at Macy's Parkchester. You look like you belong at Bloomingdale's." And I thought, they're right. I do belong in Bloomingdale's. So I literally, through a friend of the friend, quit my job at Macy's after 8 months, went and met Mike Blumenfeld, who recently passed away, who was head of beauty at Bloomingdale's, and ended up arriving at Christmas time being the assistant to the person who was scheduling all the freelance spritzers for fragrance in Bloomingdale's in the Giorgio Beverly Hills moment. Oh. And I basically went full in starting on a buying line. And I so that was my first real beauty moment, from failed executive in the Macy's training program to spritzer.
Perfume spritzer.
Okay.
Freelance spritzer.
Freelance spritzer.
Hirer.
Hirer, purveyor.
Spritzer for hire.
Spritzer for hire and therefore of. And from there I became a fine fragrance buyer at Saks Fifth Avenue. I met the Lauders. I met almost everyone. And that was just the beginning of my career. But for the first 10 years of my life, actually, I was a beauty merchant. So I actually started on the buying side, started on the selling floor, and started that way. So I always had a very different approach than a lot of the other people who've come into the business. And that's how it started. So,
you know both sides of the game.
I know both sides of the game, and I got to meet everyone.
I think a lot of people in the beauty industry now know you because of MAC. Mm-hmm. And you landed there in the late 90s, right?
Yes.
What were you tasked with doing, and what did you want to do with it? And how did you end up coming up with some of these great collaborations that MAC has done over the years?
Well, I'm probably the latest bloomer in the bunch here. I arrived at MAC in 1998, and had already been at the Estee Lauder companies for 7 years, having worked in various, you know, senior sales marketing roles on the Estee Lauder brand when we were a privately held company. And when I was given the assignment, actually, to go to MAC, it was an assignment that actually nobody wanted.
Why?
People thought it was risky. They thought it was odd. They thought it was sort of out of people's comfort zone.
It was like a weird little Canadian
makeup artist brand,
right?
It was a weird little Canadian indie brand with sort of freaks and glam goth artists, you know, dressed in black, and it didn't really fit what everybody thought, you know, the world was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And
an outlier with Estee Lauder.
It was an outlier. It was an outlier with Estee Lauder, but quite honestly, it was the beginning of the makeup artist revolution that transformed the entire beauty business. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, at the time, I had been offered a couple other jobs, internally and externally. And I remember telling Leonard that I didn't want what they had offered me. And when he said, "What about MAC?" I said, "I'm in." I had no idea what I signed up for or what I was in for, but I knew that there was something unique and very special. So I took my navy blue suit from Estee Lauder
and
burned it, took my entire wardrobe and converted to black, and got an apartment in Dan Aykroyd's old loft in Toronto, and literally went really went to work, you know, trying to understand what made the brand unique and special, and to keep it more unique and special, and to let it become what it eventually has become over the years. And I'm incredibly lucky. It was amazing timing. The founders of the brand had created an amazing story. And I arrived at the moment that Frank Angelo had passed away And Frank Toskin, who was the other founder, had made the decision that after selling to the Estee Lauder companies, he didn't want to be there. And
well, that makes things easier.
Here I am, the suit from Estee Lauder, arriving in the parallel alternative universe in Cabbage Town in Toronto. And people, quite honestly, were terrified. They were concerned, and concerned that I wouldn't really know what or how to do. But what people didn't really understand about me is growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, was like growing up being Canadian on the other side of the Great Lakes, and that I was a pop culture junkie growing up, listening to the Motown sound on the radio, and basically loved everything about pop culture.
So when I
got there, I saw within Mac the runway to really embrace everything that was diverse and fun and exciting and kooky and wacky and wild, and at the same time to embrace the professional heritage elements of what the brand was about.
And so were you bringing in all of those collaborations and bringing in all of, you know, that, you know, when I think of Mac, I think of the cosmetics, but I also think of all, you know,
Viva
all,
Glam, yeah. RuPaul. Yeah.
Well, I arrived with an incredible beginning already cast for me, because when I arrived, mm-hmm. RuPaul and Katie Lang were the original two spokespeople for the brand. And it was sort of a daunting thing because the brand had gotten relatively large, not anything close to what it was right now. And people were sort of afraid to make the next move or what was going to define what Mac was about with somebody new there, mm-hmm. a new company, new direction. And the marching orders I was given from the Lauder family, from William and Leonard, was go make Mac more Mac than it's ever been. And it was funny, I was trying to come up with what my first signal to the world was, that I saw them and what Mac represented. And I was on a business trip, learning about, you know, their various markets, and I was in Japan. And then I was in Southern California, and on the radio, because those people still listen to radio back then, Unpretty by TLC was the number one song in the country. And the lyrics of the song go, it doesn't matter how much Mac you wear. You know, it's not going to be, you're not, you know, to be pretty. So all of a sudden, I sort of got this connection that somehow the hip hop moment around the world was also part of the playbook or the rich history of Mac.
So I have to ask you about another brand. I mean, you have so many brands, you can go through your portfolio all night, but like another brand I so associate you with is Tom Ford, which is, you know, so different from a street tribal kind of like brand. It's the ultimate luxury brand. You really brought Tom into the fold at Estee Lauder Companies. Isn't that correct?
Actually, I did actually. I'm super proud. When you go back over the course of what you've done in your career, being able to have worked with Tom to actually establish the brand, which was 10 years ago right now as well, and to have been able to have done that from scratch at that moment when he had actually left Gucci and before he had started the fashion brand was...
People don't realize the brand, the cosmetics brand, the beauty brand started first.
Yes.
Right, so it that's unusual.
It's unheard of.
Yeah.
People thought...
Oh, because he was at Gucci then, right?
He left Gucci. And he was in a moment where he had no licensing deals or anything. At the time, I was overseeing Mac and the Estee Lauder brand. But actually, Tom Ford is a tribe. When you think about the type of style and the inherent sexiness and sort of glamour that he represents, he has always attracted a very strong male and female audience who are very much attracted to him personally and his vision.
How could you not be? I mean, then the world is a tribe.
The world is a tribe.
The world is part of Tom Ford's tribe.
The world is part of Tom Ford's.
Of a pulse.
So, we started that 10 years ago, and it is the most successful designer beauty business born in the 21st century.
When you actually
think about it, others had tried and failed. So it really has been.
We won't name names, but think about them.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then I know, you know, you obviously being in the Estee Lauder Tower and given how your, you know, tenure there, you're very tight with Mr. Leonard Lauder.
I am.
Now, not a lot of people can say that. And we haven't had him on the podcast.
No, but we saw him last week.
They did see him last week.
He would be amazing on a podcast.
Can you indulge us? I know, but we haven't had the chance to ask him. What can you give us, just indulge us, what are some things that you've learned from him? What are some things that have been really special and impactful on your journey at Estee Lauder, even in your life?
Well, first of all, he is the ultimate global citizen. He travels and looks at everything around the world and finds inspiration and passion in places that you would never think of. In traveling with him, he would get as excited to go to a bake shop, a restaurant experience.
What's the weirdest place he dragged you to around the world?
Oh, God. what's weird in anything? I don't really, you know,
He's adventurous, I guess.
It's the mashup.
Yeah.
It's his understanding of the culture. You know, he comes from a different era.
Yeah.
But
he's kind of with it, though.
But he's a very with it person. And he was the person who had the vision to understand that, you know, after making his mother everything that she became as a global brand and creating Clinique as the counterpoint to Estee Lauder and creating the Aramis Man in the 1960s and doing all these amazing things with, you know, the idea of color families and color printing with prescriptives and working with William to develop Origins in 1990 and the natural space. He always has been a visionary. And what he's taught me is that there's no detail that's too small and that what matters the most is the way that you make people feel and the way that you treat other people. And whenever he travels, he has this famous thing in the company, we call it a blue note. So there's this blue pad of paper that only the senior executives of the company have. Uh-huh. And it has your name on it, and it's in script, like Estee Lauder wrote the name, like in 1947. And Leonard Lauder sends you a blue note. And on the blue note, he has this unintelligible handwriting, which is just as bad as mine. So... and he'll write notes or he'll make his version of an emoji face and he'll attach articles or give you a hard time about something or thank you or thank someone for spending the time. Or when he goes on a trip, he has a tape recorder that he goes at the end of his trip and he'll remember the name of every person he met in his store, whether they worked for the company or whether they worked behind a counter or they worked for the press or the trade. And that person will receive a hand-signed note from him.
Is it a blue note?
That's sometimes on his stationery. The blue note goes to us. The handwritten note or the stationery type note goes on his stationery. But
details.
And it's a detail. And I have to tell you that there are people that have met him 30 and 40 years ago that saved those letters.
Of course, yeah.
And that personal touch and in it to win it and business being an extension of your life and life being an extension of your business, the way that he understands things for me has been unbelievable.
You know, you listed a bunch of these brands. We talked about a lot of them were built in-house at Estee Lauder, but something that you and he both have an eye for is these acquisitions.
Absolutely.
Estee Lauder Companies owns a lot of brands. Jess listed them off when we were introing you. There are so many beauty brands now. Like every day there's a new freaking tiny brand that wants to be the next Estee Lauder.
Absolutely.
And I bet a lot of them are knocking on your door, wish they knew Leonard Lauder. How do you guys, you're both visionaries, how do you see what is the good ones? Like what stands out as like this is going to be something special? Because you don't have a lot of duds.
Well, first of all, it takes a village. I work for an amazing CEO, Fabrizio Freda, who has been at the helm of the company for the past decade. William Lauder has been the executive chairman of the company, and Leonard is the chairman emeritus. Mm-hmm. And we have an investment committee that actually screens and looks around the world at all these businesses with a very structured, strategic process.
But I'm just giving you the back part.
But, but I just want to understand, you know, we're a big public company with shareholders,
right.
so... It doesn't just go based on gut. What I like and my intuition and instinct. However, I rely heavily on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I look everywhere. And I meet everyone, and there is no idea in my mind that's too small, and there's nobody who can ever be discounted. What's super exciting about today's world and super scary about today's world is there actually are overnight success stories today with the internet and influencers and e-commerce and the amplification of search and all the digital dynamics. We're living in a world where somebody literally can become famous or match a product or an aspiration with a success, whether it's a financial idea or a product idea. And that's an amazing thing because in some way the world gives everybody a chance.
But what if there's like someone out there who's like has an idea or has a teeny tiny brand and they want to be big like the brands that you have? What are you looking for and what could they be doing?
Yeah, I'm sure lots of people who are listening have their own brands or, you know, we're dying to
my makeup brushes are amazing and Estee Lauder needs to make them.
First of all, there's the germ of an idea. Mm-hmm. There's the idea of actually how you build a brand and how you build a brand that goes beyond one person's idea or one person's personality dynamic to make it a global business. As a company, we believe that anybody can get you to buy something once with a good story. Mm-hmm. To get somebody to buy something over and over and over again and to repeat those purchases and to actually become loyal to you as a brand and to trust you doesn't happen that frequently.
Don't you think your shareholders, though, would be psyched if you were like, cool, this one brand makes this one product. We're going to sell 2 million of it, make $2 million. And then whatever happens, happens. Or is that not the Estee Lauder way?
$2 million.
It is the Estee Lauder way, but unfortunately today, $2 million doesn't go as far.
Oh, yeah, you guys, I'm sorry, my numbers.
Almost nearly a $14 billion company. Therein lies the challenge.
Yeah.
Because when you're a big company with big results,
the
numbers are super important. Yet at the same time, the bigger you get, the more micro-focused or able to scan to understand where the germ of the next wave is coming from. Mm-hmm. And there is a danger, and I've done it myself, where you get very comfortable. And I've learned the hard way. I don't discount anybody or anything because...
What do you mean you learned the hard way?
I know.
Yeah, what happened?
I didn't probably fully appreciate the change in the influencer paradigm that's dramatically change the way that people communicate and talk about
and shop for beauty.
I didn't think I really understood that. Like, I have a 10-year-old daughter who wants to be a YouTube star. She actually went to a boot camp at Google and does the video, "Hi guys," with unicorns. And yes, she's my daughter. So yes, "Hi guys" with the unicorn and all the other stuff here, and Catherine can vouch for it. And, you know, she is looking at these tutorials and, you know, whether it's JoJo Siwa with her bow on the left on the side of her head or the right. And by the way, I went to LA this summer and she wanted to meet JoJo Siwa. I had no idea even who JoJo Siwa was, but I do now. And so, you know, understanding that generationally that the communication mechanism and the way that you sell product has disrupted the way that generations actually experience and learn about beauty products and aspire to buy things. Mm-hmm. I was a little late myself personally and actually, or maybe not so late, I'm probably a lot earlier than most other people, but I didn't understand fundamentally because it's super interesting. When you look at a lot of the brands and some of the brands that we've bought, actually, if you look at Too Faced or Smashbox, we talk about them like they're overnight sensations. They've been in business over 20 years. You know, it's super interesting when I look at our competitors like Anastasia or Urban Decay. These are businesses, some of which had gone through various stages of ownership and various types of distribution. Even Becca, which has been around for 20 years. Yeah. Yet in the new storytelling paradigm, with the new millennial Gen Z customer, all of a sudden, everything is different and new again.
It looks like a completely different brand than it was 10 years
ago. Yes, and so having worked on heritage brands, or even having worked on Mac, which was the original community brand and the ultimate experiential brand, you know, I don't think that I fully understood that my customer or our customer would be influenced by this.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
be influenced by these influencers and by these YouTube channels and by social and all that?
Everything. Absolutely everything.
Did
you? I honestly, it caught me a little flat-footed. So I, if that's what I'm being...
So, yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm being...
How are you going to prevent or, you know, what have you...
He went to boot camp at Google headquarters.
You've got a secret spy. I mean, you've got people on the ground. You've got a 10-year-old daughter. But what are you going to do, like, going forward, like, to stay? You know, we worry about this in our own jobs. Like, how do you
evolve with the times?
I mean, being older and having a young daughter in the beauty business is a little bit of my insurance policy.
I know, but eventually
because I'm lucky in that I'm experiencing her aspirations and mm-hmm. her tune in on
through
the world.
Through her eyes, yeah.
Through her eyes.
Yeah.
And I think that the thing that people forget is that you have to see the world through the eyes of the customer and the eyes of the way that people experience things. And people get very comfortable with the paradigms and the business mm-hmm. models and the types of things that they're used to. So I've always been a person that's pushed the status quo, always tried to disrupt myself. And another key lesson that Leonard Lauder taught me is if I took an eraser and erased my brand off a piece of paper, mm-hmm. what brand would take its place?
Ooh.
And, you know, you have to be able to be hard on yourself and to understand that being in business is not a God-given right. You have yeah. to earn it.
And that little practice that you just talked about, is that so you can stay ahead of the competition and do...
Yes. Well, I want to know how I would disrupt myself.
Oh, like who's the little guy that's out to get you?
Or who's the big guy who's out to get you? Because we're competitive.
Yeah.
And a lot of the companies that we compete against are very competitive.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's looking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody has their approach. So if you were going into business against yourself, knowing your vulnerabilities or knowing your strengths, what would you do?
What's an example of something you just, like, how did you disrupt any one of the brands that I named at the top of the show?
Jess, that was a good question.
Wow, what a question. How did I disrupt?
I mean, there's a lot to choose from.
Okay. Tom Ford. Luxury, aspirational beauty. The disruption of Tom Ford beyond what was his unique point of view in terms of Black Orchid and noir and sort of the sexy sort of aspirational imagery. We made the decision that we were going to be the most luxe lipstick brand on the marketplace.
Was that a price point? You're like, someone else might have a...
We started off mm-hmm. saying, if price was no object, not like what's the highest price point I can get away with, but if we could go to every fragrance supplier and every makeup vendor mm-hmm. and every packaging person, say, what would it take without being totally ridiculous? We priced the brand 25% higher than Dior and Chanel.
Something, right?
And it was, you know, at the time, to come out with a $55 lipstick when the highest price point lipstick in the marketplace was $30 or $32.50, people thought was absolutely insane. And it was a disruption because all of a sudden, in the price value, you know, sort of framing of everything, it first of all allowed us to do something that was way more extravagant in terms of product formulation and in terms of packaging, provide a much more immersive sort of point of sale experience.
So if I come out with like $100 lipstick, can I disrupt you? I know it's not that simple, though.
It's not that simple.
Yeah.
And you have to think of it first. So, you know, and quite honestly, there are a lot of $100 lipsticks now.
Yeah.
And there, there are a lot of artisanal fragrances now. So, by the way, the idea of doing a luxe brand, I didn't make it up.
No.
But I'm just saying the paradigm or the shift of reframing the marketplace.
Yeah.
When the entire marketplace was trading as the next designer prestige fragrance with banners and TV commercials.
Yeah, you gotta
and all
change
the above.
The game.
We changed the conversation and we changed the game.
Who are you looking at right now? It doesn't just have to be the beauty industry, but what are some brands that are changing the game right now that you... I remember I was talking to a Clinique executive. They were talking about SodaStream. I'm like, why is a beauty person talking about SodaStream? You know, the seltzerizer of the water.
Still don't get.
But by the way, Japanese women apparently like to use the carbonated water as a toner.
I heard that, yeah.
But they're marketing it that way now.
Absolutely.
But what brands do you look at out in the marketplace, and don't you dare tell me Google or something obvious like that, that are doing that now? It can be beauty, too. I'm sure you're always looking.
Listen, I have a lot of admiration for a lot of the community brands that have managed to leverage their platforms into selling beauty products. So I don't have to mention them all, but I do have a nod and
like a Huda Beauty kind of like a influencers.
You know, Huda Beauty's interesting because, you know, Huda was, you know, she is one of the she's the biggest.
Oh, he's talking about Glossier, isn't he? Oh.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Perhaps.
Community brand.
But community brands, and you know, when I think about the success of our company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wasn't Estee Lauder really a community brand?
Yeah.
Just in those days.
She was going around from place to place.
Salon to salon and meeting newspaper editors and doing radio shows and doing local TV. So she built her beauty tribe. If you're not seen today, you don't exist.
Yeah.
I'm a product junkie. I'm a fashion junkie.
Let's get into that.
And honestly... Yeah. I give tremendous credit, and I have a lot of love for a lot of artisanal brands and a lot of chemists and a lot of people who are not famous, who have not made a lot of money, and I appreciate what they've done. But in today's world,
it's not enough.
If you're not seen, you're not heard.
So,
and so I, so when I look at today's world in disruption, and actually... Even interestingly enough, when I look at Le Labo, in a world of a lot of noise and fast fashion, they make their noise by making no noise. So they're slow retail. They're sort of laid back, come in, have a cup of coffee, no displays, just come with me and explore what you want to do, is almost the antithesis of everybody else selling. And in that noisy environment,
it's
being so quiet
is
a disruption. So it all depends on the context of how you find these things. So, and the same thing has happened, you know, look what, you know, fast fashion disrupted the apparel paradigm. Direct-to-consumer, you know, platforms like ASOS are disrupting Zara and disrupting H&M. Personality brands or artisanal vertically oriented things are disrupting ASOS. So everybody is fishing around.
It's just so crowded and it's so noisy.
It's a very crowded, noisy environment, which goes to the importance of brands, authenticity, and brand builders.
On this brand builder note, now I know that you could do like a whole, you know, master class on this or like just start your own, you know, college for this, but we always get so many DMs and emails saying like, I want to start a brand, or I have this little, you know, kitchen cosmetics kind of brand. And all of these questions come to us as if Jen and I are Estee Lauder herself, who, you know, having built a huge brand. I don't always know what to say to them. They say like, how should they break into the beauty business? I know it's a big question, but can you just, you know, throw us a bone here? Like some kind of answer we can reply with.
Well, first of all, if you don't have a great product or if you don't have a unique selling proposition, don't bother showing up.
You don't like the whole... The,
no, but you, nobody needs another...
They're
nobody
not
need,
all kitchen cosmetics.
No, this is not... No, but nobody needs a generic.
We've heard some good ideas
Nobody needs more generics because in a generic world, lowest price wins. Because in a functional search-oriented world, if you're just buying something that just moisturizes or gives you a color or If you don't get any sort of emotional connection of what that product or that experience is about, then you better be the lowest price producer and you better be able to get the biggest distribution because you're never going to win.
So emotional connection, I hear you saying.
Emotional connection.
Yeah.
Authenticity in terms of a unique story.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows there are millions of stories that are still left to be told.
What story are you tired of hearing?
Ooh, good question.
I'll tell you mine.
I can't because I would probably be shot. There are a couple of stories that I'm tired of hearing about.
But I'm tired of hearing the story, and I'm sure it's always true. I'm just tired of hearing it. Like I couldn't find something to treat my eczema or my this or my that, but like this thing I like whipped up in my kitchen just happens to work.
They come for Deside, these new brands. They say there was nothing on the market like this, and I'm literally in my head going, "You had this."
Have you tried like any of these like clinically tested, reasonably priced like?
Yeah, but you know what? If somebody believes it.
I'm sure they do.
That's actually the thing about the beauty business where you actually find the brilliance is the less you know sometimes, the better.
Yeah.
If I knew what I know now, I'm not sure I could have done with Mac. I would be so scared.
Yeah, there'd be a fear.
I would never in my wildest dreams have done some of the insane things that I did or some of the in today's world, it's even more obvious.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would have been too afraid. I would have had considered like, did you consider the effect of this in, you know, X country Y or this group that feels marginalized or this group that feels, you know, I would be so concerned about every constituent in every way, shape, or form of being PC, that I would never, you would never get out of the house. We're living in a world today that everything has a consequence.
Yeah.
And if you...
I was just thinking of Origins and the gumball machine because I used to do retail. Like, imagine the person that thought through the legal ramifications. What if someone chokes on the gumball in the Origins, you know, store? Then we're going to have that problem. Like,
actually,
you're right.
That's probably the reason why the gumballs aren't there anymore.
The gumballs are gone?
They don't have them anymore. They don't have them anymore.
Okay, it's a good thing I don't run a beauty brand.
Or someone who's like diabetic who had one. This sent me into a shock or something.
So
contains nuts.
I believe that you go, actually Leonard has the ultimate quote. If you don't know where you want to get to, you'll never get there. So you need to be focused.
These people that email
have
us,
a dream.
Get a goal.
Have a dream.
Yeah.
Have a goal. And have a deliverable that's attainable. You know, to wake up in the morning and say, I want to be the biggest makeup brand in the world, or I want to serve all ethnicities with, you know, non-harmful vegan ingredients that, you know, are free. I mean, you know, so just like putting all sorts of unrealistic parameters or things together.
They're
but people make the most
absurd,
outrageous
claim,
sort of, you know.
I'm still laughing at the free ingredients.
He's probably heard it, but anyway.
John is not laughing at all.
No,
he's like scowling.
I've heard.
But how do these people even get in the room with you? Surely they never even get in the room if they're speaking like this. You definitely stop meeting these like cockamamie
people. First of all,
people
have figured out
your email address.
No, they've broken into Instagram. So I've actually been hacked. People have actually DM'd me in Instagram.
We thought you might have some bots. We were talking about that.
So
there's
people
some weird
actually
comments.
So people actually DM into my Instagram.
Oh
my
God.
And bizarrely, I don't even know how, sometimes they get into my corporate email account or
he's looking around the room like for someone to blame.
It's not to blame, but it's just generally, when there's a will, there's a way.
I like the gumption. You'll give them a minute to hear the pitch then if they make their way
I've been a big supporter of half the people who are competitors. I've given a lot of advice to a lot of people, and I really do wish everyone well. I can't say that everybody operates that way.
Right.
So a lot of people have come to me to ask, what do I think or what would I do? And I haven't always been right, but I do, because I think that competition is good, and I think that it keeps you, you know, on your game. And
mm-hmm. Wait, before we, since this isn't the masterclass in starting business, I do have to ask, you mentioned that you love product.
I do.
We're not going to let you go without talking about product. Tell us some of the products that make their way into John Dempsey's bathroom. What, if you name one that is not owned by Estee Lauder companies, you get bonus points.
Okay, I'll name one that's not. I'll be authentic. I'll tell all those.
Practice what you preach.
Of Estee Lauder companies' products, I use a lot of La Mer.
Your skin does
look
good.
I love.
It's very glowy.
I use like a lot of the Tom Ford, all the fragrances. Mm. A lot of them I developed because we didn't have anything in the portfolio that I really liked. I use Clinique cleansers. I've used Vance Night Repair. I'm obsessed by this cult beauty product called Biologique Recherche P50, which is this.
Oh, we know it.
I swear by it.
So we just put a funny meme of it on our Instagram.
Really?
If it's not on St. Hoax, he's not going to
rebrand
it.
I use it. So I, you know, I.
You're allowed.
I'm allowed. So, okay. You know, I'm allowed to do competitive shopping. But, you know, I think it's an amazing product.
What about non-beauty? Like, are you like a supplements person, a weird vitamin?
No.
Fashion. You like fashion.
No, I'm like fashion. I'm an Ambien person.
I'm a Tylenol
PM and Ambien person.
He's brand loyal.
I'm also probably the only person in the world that takes two Tylenol in the morning because I know I'm going to have a headache.
Oh my God. No, that's so sad.
No, it's good.
His publicist is so cracking up right now.
But like, it's so good.
But like,
I face the day ready to go.
Do you have any like de-stressing secrets? You can't have it. You have too big of a job to have a headache like that.
I have de-stressing secrets.
What is it?
I'm very much a person who has a problem with portion control.
Really?
I have 9 pets.
Okay, so I was going to segue into your pet soon.
Have 9 pets.
Yes.
I have 6 dogs.
What's that noise?
What's that? Are we done?
No, I don't know what that was. That was super weird.
Okay. I have 6 dogs and 3 cats.
That was the wrap it up sound, maybe.
So I have 6 dogs and 3 cats.
Can you tell us some of their names?
I will tell you all their names.
Okay.
I have 3 cats. There's Dora and there's Olivia, who are the Havana Brown cats. They were named during my daughter's obsession with Dora the Explorer.
I was thinking that, but I didn't want to make a stupid
joke.
Then
there is my Siamese cat, Mr. Pink.
Oh.
The cats jump on my chest, start to purr, and I nod out. Then I have 3 French bulldogs. I have Scout. I have Portia. And I have Naomi Campbell.
Oh, my God.
Naomi Campbell.
Know about this?
How about the fact that I texted her and asked her for permission if I could use her name, and she told me that she was going to teach her how to walk.
Oh, my God.
So that's a true story. And then I have... Donut and Toffee, who are 2 Pekingese dogs.
That's cute.
And I have the latest one, which was really the last, really a bridge too far, but I have Gizmo that I got on the American Kennel on Lexington Avenue. I went in one day and I saw this pug dog and I was a sucker and I took it home.
Oh my God.
So, he's like, well, 8 was fine.
You gave it a great life.
So actually, my go-to product in my life is Nature's Miracle.
To clean the carpets?
To clean up all the urinary arts, yes.
Aw, you do it yourself?
When you step in it, you
clean it yourself?
You clean it yourself,
so you come home from a long day at the office.
And I'm spritzing.
And you're like, gosh darn it.
Between my Jo Malone candles and my Frederick Malle candles, I've got a Nature's Miracle spritz going on top of the Louis Vuitton.
Keep it real.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you need after a long day.
Should we end our interview on Nature's Miracle?
Nature's Miracle.
It's an amazing product.
Any chance of an acquisition?
I don't know. I mean, I've always thought that Origins was Nature's Miracle, but
I like a motto at the end there. That's nice. I like that.
Thanks, John. This was so great.
Yes. And now just guess his email and go pitch your business. He's ready to hear it.
Yes.
Thank you. It's time to raise a wand. You ready to do this?
I'm ready to raise the wand.
Okay, I'm raising a wand to a product that I haven't tried yet. Bear with me.
This doesn't seem right.
It doesn't. I'm raising a wand to the idea of this product. I'm going to curse now, which happens all the time. Have you seen Fuck Kavanaugh lipstick?
Oh, my God.
it's a thing. So,
Is this from the makers of Fuck Trump?
Yes, it is. Yes, oh it is. God. Lip Slut is the name of the company. Listen, I have been riveted by this whole thing, as everybody in the United States has. I don't want to get political on the podcast, but what I love is that women are owning the things that make us women and using that to fight back against the patriarchy in a way. It's like, yeah, you can bitch and moan and protest, and of course you should, and you need to raise your voice and learn and find out what you're talking about. But I just love that some woman's answer to being pissed off at the world and the patriarchy was like, I'm going to make a freaking lipstick about it.
How much is the lipstick?
Okay, so I ordered it. It was $19.90.
You ordered the lipstick?
Well, I went through the process of ordering it because I want to make sure that like it was all so, but it's pre-order because they're not going to ship for 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, okay. But well, by that time, like, what's going to happen?
I don't know, but I just like the idea of this. So it's $19.99, and you're and they send money to different nonprofits. So, for example, with this one, RAIN, the
Rape Abuse Incest National Hotline Network
is one of the places you can choose to send your money to. They're going to vote and see whoever has the most. And it's also just like a matte red dark lipstick, which I kind of love too. Like, I feel like they were just like, let's just go with it. Let's just do the most feminine thing ever. And I love that women today, when we feel threatened as women, we just become more womanly. I kind of like that.
Okay.
So I'm raising a wand to it. I can't make any promises for the formula on this one, guys.
Do we think it's Tom Ford quality?
Probably not. It looked like a NYX sort of velvet matte liquid lipstick with a doe foot is what I'm going to say. So,
okay.
What are you raising a wand to?
I am raising a wand to just something really simple. It's the time of year where I start getting nervous about itchy, dry skin.
Mm-hmm.
And also, again, when I – remember we talked with, like, our friend Lo about just, like
– Oh, Lo Bosworth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Low money, low thing. Mm-hmm. We talked with her about, like, how just sensitive and temperamental women's bodies are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was traveling – I was not using my Dove unscented, like, basic soap.
Oh, you're keeping it feminist. I did this, and you did. Now you're doing
I felt the pain.
So you are raising one to Dove.
Yes. Now, I know that, I don't know what Lowe's feelings were exactly on this chemical breakdown, but I just want to let you guys know, I swear by Lowe, and I swear by Dove unscented bar soap. I'm sure you can use the body wash
for your lady
too.
Parts.
For the whole thing. I'm not using.
Oh, I'm a Dove bar girl.
Yeah, I'm not using separate things. My bathroom is small. I share it with my husband. I like just keep things streamlined, and I'm enjoying my Dove bar soap so much that, like, I want to use it all over my body. You can even use it on your face. Do you know that? And it's also not soap, because I wrote a story with the Dove bar at one point, and like the fact checking people. And the Dove people like had like 8 meltdowns.
It's a beauty bar. It's not a soap.
Technically, soap is actually a combination.
We've come to use that word differently, but yes,
it's
I hear you.
It's not soap. So when people say don't use soap on your lady parts,
it doesn't have toluate or sodium toluate in it, and not lye and all that. Yes, it's not soap.
Yeah, it is not soap. So when people say don't use soap on your bits, like the Dove bar is not soap. So, but use the unscented one. And let me tell you, when I was not using it, I absolutely felt the difference.
Okay, well, raise a wand to Dove Unscented Beauty Bar.
Yes, perfect. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review, or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara, or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.